morning, family. It is a pleasure and joy to be with you again this morning. I am very grateful to the Lord for such an awesome opportunity this morning to be with my own family. You know, as I said last time when I came here, wherever I find myself in God's people, I see them as my family. I see myself as part of them, and I see them as part of me. So if I call you a family, that is a person I am, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I first of all wanted to extend my gratitude to the Lord for such opportunity as it pleases him for me to be with you this morning and to fellowship with you. It's such an awesome invitation. Hallelujah. And I also thank Reverend Steve. Reverend Steve is such a wonderful man. You know, my first time speaking with him on the phone, I felt like my brother. And God gave me opportunity this week to see him on Wednesday with a certain special team. And I got to know the reality that he is a genuine man of God. So, Reverend, wherever you are, I just want to say thank you for the invitation that you have given to me. And also, I would like to thank the leadership of this church. Thank you so much. It's not everywhere that you go that you feel accepted. But when I came here first time, I feel like I should come back. I didn't know how it would happen, but here I am. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. And also thanking the ushering team. Thanking you also for the media team. Thank you for everyone who is contributing to make this service possible. I'm very grateful to all of you. Thank you. And I also want to thank my husband, my friend, my brother, my uncle, and my dad. He is here with me this morning again. Hallelujah. This is a man who has stood with me through thick and thin since God called me when I was in Ghana. You know, I was a Muslim, as I said last time, when the Lord snatched me to become a member of his family, and at the same time setting me apart to carry his gospel. So, you know, I'm very humble because God has given me this kind of ministry. As somebody like me now carry the word of God, preaching is such an honorable calling. So I'm very grateful to the Lord as well. Let's share a word of prayer. Eternal Father, we thank you so much this morning once again. We are here because of what you came to do on the earth. People that you have created for yourself, walking on our way from your presence, but your love continue to look for us. And you saw our vulnerability and you came down to save us. And this particular season is a time that we are remembering what you have done for us 2,000 years ago. We are the product of your sacrifice. We are the results of your kindness and your goodness that you shone on the cross 2,000 years ago. Here we are to celebrate the season, and it is all because of you. You came down to be a human being that was called Jesus Christ. We are grateful to you that you came to our miserable state just to save us and redeem us from the enemy. This shows that indeed that you are so mindful of us. So Daddy, we are here to say thank you. We recognize all that you have done for us. So as I stand before your people, Daddy, I just want you to sit on me as you sat on the donkey. As you sat on the donkey in Jerusalem, sit on me this morning again. I would like you to speak to me. Speak through me and speak for me. I commit myself completely, submit my mind, my thoughts, my innermost being. I submit the totality of me into your hands. I ask that the Holy Spirit will help me so that our gathering and at this particular moment will not be in vain, but it will bring glory alone unto you, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, I was given a title or a topic for today's service as the Christmas Child. And this is very profound, the Christmas Child. And by meditating on the subject, the Lord laid on my heart to add a subtitle onto it, that God with us. The Christmas Child, who is God with us. Why should I say God with us? Somebody may also ask. Yes, we know God is with us. If God is not with us, we wouldn't be here by this time. So why should you come and tell us that God with us? Even we see God in our daily life, even this morning as we were coming, we have felt God's presence with us. In all our circumstances, in our life, in our family, we see God is at work. We see God in every aspect of our doings. So why should you come and tell us again that God with us? There are simple thoughts that I have given to this particular sub-team, that God with us. The first is, as we approach to celebrate the Christmas, I would like us to reflect on the profound truth about Christmas Child, the Son of God who came into this world not just as a baby in a manger, but as a Messiah, the Savior of humanity. As Matthew chapter 1 verses 8 to 25 has this rich passage that unveils the divine purpose and miraculous birth and eternal significance of Christ. So this morning, I'm going to share a couple of thoughts with you this morning that I believe is going to shape or to help our thoughts as we get close to Christmas season. I'm going to approach very simple word. I believe it speaks to the core of our faith as Christians, who we are and what God wants to do with us as Christians, as Christian life. Apostle Paul prayed for Christians of Ephesus, and by extension, I believe that this same prayer is being offered for the Woodside Baptist Church also this morning. I'm reading. Apostle Paul prayed that I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. He prayed for the Ephesus Church, and he's still praying the same prayer. Oh, this same prayer is being prayed for all the Christians around the globe, that our understanding may be enlightening. Because, you know, ignorance Christianity is a very dangerous prospect. It's a very dangerous prospect. When you are a Christian and you are less knowledge about your faith, it's a very dangerous prospect. There are many Christians their faith has been challenged when people question them, especially when you face those who are steady, who has intentionally done the theology, but they are not Christian. When they question you about certain aspect of our faith, certain tenets of our faith, it brings a whole lot of challenges onto us. So I believe this simple message is going to help us and also to impart some knowledge and further understanding of our belief in this season, especially as we are about to celebrate the Christmas. And so the message that I have already given to this particular one is God with us. Is God with us. And I'm going to speak about two important words that I will introduce right from this beginning through my message, and also, God willing, through the conclusion. The first word that I would like us to consider is the transcendence, the transcender, the word transcendence. The word transcendence is used to describe God that he is above all things. He is greater than everything. He rises above everything in heaven under the heaven and on earth and under the earth. The transcendence. We are talking about the supremacy of God, the Elohim, the Almighty God, the Yahweh, the Adonai, the El Shaddai, the El Shabbat. We are talking about the omnipotent of the Christmas child. We are talking about the omnipresent of the Christmas child. We are talking about the omniscient of the Christmas child. So when we hear the word transcendence, I believe you are British. You know, I am Italian and then Ghanaian mixed together. So we have the proper grammar English people here. So you do understand best than me, but I'm trying to bring you to a certain point of remembrance, or I'm trying, it's a way of reminder of this particular way, the transcendence, which simply means that God is above all things. God is God of all. He is supreme. He rises above everything that we know and the things that we are about to know. The things that we understand, the things that we cannot understand. He rises above all. And then the second word is eminence. The eminence means that God is present. God is present. He being a creator, the Elohim, the Emmanuel, the El Shaddai, Yahweh, the Adonai, he being all he is, who made all things, who is above all things, who is greater than all things, who rises above every creation, he still also dwells in the midst of what he has made. He still dwells in the midst of what he has created. So these two words is very important in this particular passage, but it is such a conflicting thought that God, who is a transcendent, is also immanent. The one who is above all things, how possible that the one who is above all things is also immanent of what he is above of? It's a very conflicting thought, but it's the reality. Hallelujah. And this particular understanding brings a lot of tension. It brings around a lot of tension. It brings a lot of tensions around through our whole Christian life and effort. Everything that we want to do, when you think about God being a supreme being, being all he is, above all things, rises above all things, and still we believe that he is within us. And it is only our God, the creator of the universe, the true I am, who dwells among what he has already made. The other gods of other religion, their God is somewhere, and what their people believe also is another place. But it is only our God, the true Elohim, the I am that is I am, who is above all things, but still find himself dwelling within what he has made. Hallelujah. I think this is the better place for us to clap for our God. He is the true God of the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 When we read the creation account from Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3, we realize that the opening words of Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So right there, we see that both heaven, which is a metaphor of the spiritual realm or God's realm, and earth were created by God. When we all read these accounts, we see that the heavens, the Bible says that the heavens is the throne of God and the earth is his footstool. But when you read accounts properly, you see that God was the one who made them. So that means that God himself existed before his home was existed. Is that correct? Because he wasn't there when the creation was made before he became God. He was there before he himself created the heavens and the earth. So we can see that the Christmas child whom name Emmanuel was given to was existed before he made the heaven and the earth. The reason is simple. Heaven cannot contain him. And the earth cannot contain his supremacy, his eminence. So he existed before his creation was made. Hallelujah. It is only the true God who existed before his home was existed. And that is you and me, our God, the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. He is Emmanuel, the eminence of our God. He put the man, let me go back here. So we see that God created the heaven and earth and decided that for me, the transcendent God, for me to dwell among what I have made, after he made the earth, the Bible testifies according to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and between Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, God took a spot on the earth. And then he named that spot Eden. That means that God, who dwells in the heavens, took a spot on the earth and named it Eden and put a man he has made, Adam and Eve, and put them in the garden so that whenever he wanted to visit the earth, when he wanted to dwell among what he has made, he will come to a place called Eden and then dwell among his people. So we see that from Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And when put a man in charge and decided that every time he want to see the man, he will visit him in Eden. So in Eden, therefore, became God dwelled with us. So in heaven, in the Eden, therefore became Emmanuel, God with us. So in Eden, our parents, Adam and Eve, were living in heaven on earth until when we all know, according to Genesis chapter 3, that they rebel against God because of the bad guy. They rebel against God. And God took them out from Eden. We all know the story. So then we went out from Eden and got hell. The reason why the virgin was conceived, I'm trying to bring us to that scene where we came to have the virgin who gave birth to the transcendent God. And now we have the Christmas child. So when Adam and Eve were living in heaven on the earth until when we all know that they rebel against God and God took them out from Eden. So they went out from Eden and got hell on heaven, on earth, where there are thorns, thistles, and all kinds of tough situation. And after that, God closed the door of Eden so that man cannot get to Eden. We all know the story. God shut the doors to the Eden, so that man were not able to go back then. So now, if man cannot get to the Eden, how does God dwell with us on the earth? How can we see the eminence of God? How does God dwell with us on the or on earth after the fall of mankind? Because God chose a place. God chose a place for all of us. Chose a place for our parents. That is Adam. When I say our parents, I think when even the scientists here will tell us, the medical doctors will tell us, that when you took maybe our blood group, you won't see maybe the people of color, their blood group, and you won't see the people, the white people, of their blood group. We all came from one people. So when I call that they are our parents, that is the reality. When they rebel against God, God moved them from the Garden of Eden. So now, how are we going to see the God who dwell among his creation, the eminence of God? And through all the history of the Bible, we notice that God sometimes will show up. What happened is that when man was moved out from the Garden of Eden, God decided to show himself again, because he made us to have intimate relationship with him. And so here and there, you will see God manifest himself to people. God showed himself to Abraham. God showed himself to Moses. And one of the people who did very well to mark the places where God showed himself was Abraham. God showed himself to Abraham, and Abraham who made an altar there and offered sacrifices and marked that place and said that God was here. So that his generation after him, when they are seeking about the God, he will be talking to them about, they will find out that God was here at this spot. And we see that when Jacob was running away from his brother Esau, Jacob reached a place where the Bible says that he lay down his head on the stone, and he saw the angels were ascending and descending from there. And he woke up and said that, oh, so God was here and I did not know it. So after the fall of man, when God took man away from the Garden of Eden, God began to show up again among his creation. So it continued and continued and continued. And then Moses' time also, God revealed himself sometimes on the mountains. God showed himself sometimes in the Red Sea. God showed himself along the way. The presence of God was with them in a form of clouds, in a form of fire. We see them, God manifested himself here and there to people. So it continues, the Emmanuel, the imminence of God was quite continuous. And it came to a point that God said that, for me to be at this place at the time and then changing the places, I'm going to show or to give a pattern to a man to build an ark of covenant. So God gave a pattern to Moses, and Moses made an ark of covenant, so that if anyone wanted to see God, Moses put the ark of covenant in the tent, where they call it the tent of meeting. So anytime that the children of Israel will enter into the tent of meeting and then see the ark, the presence of God was there. So it continues until King David also came into the scene, where the ark was taken to a tabernacle. And then because of the disobedience of the people of Israel, the ark was being captured severally. And so it came to a point that the ark got lost. So when the ark got lost, it means that the transcendent God who has become eminence is lost. He is not within his creation anymore. So within a period of 700 years, we all know that there were prophets that God spoke through them that I will come and save my people. So within this period, God will reveal himself here and there and here and there and here and there. Now the ark is lost. So God decided that for me to be at one place at all times, so that man will not travel here and there seeking for my presence, I will come and dwell within the people that I have made. So the Bible testifies that according to Isaiah chapter 7, says that the virgin will conceive. The virgin will conceive. So God took himself and then the woman that he has made, God make himself a place or incubator in the womb of a Virgin Mary for him to be conceived, so that anyone who would believe in him will be a carrier of the transcendent God who is imminent within his creation. So the virgin was conceived by the Spirit of the living God. And the Bible says that the virgin gave birth, which we read from the book of Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 to 25. That a virgin conceived and gave birth. And now, he gave the name that they should call the baby, that they should call him Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the transcendent God, who has now come to dwell within his creation. So the virgin gave birth to Emmanuel, and then Emmanuel became a human being. So the transcendent God came into the womb of woman and became immanent God with us. God decided that this time, I have already said that. So the main point that I'm trying to drag us at here is that, as Matthew said, let me read the whole paragraph. He said that this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And this particular part alone is a message of itself. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus Christ, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the Christmas child, this is how the transcendent God became immanent with us. And John chapter 1 verses 14 to 16 says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son. Listen to here carefully. Let me read it again. He said that, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God. Who is himself transcendent. Who is himself God. And in his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And when you read Isaiah 7:14, talks about the supernatural birth of our Savior. And then when you read Micah chapter 5 verses 2 and 5, verses 2 to 5, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from old and from ancient times. And when you read Isaiah 53 verses 8 to 11, also talks about the transcendent God who will become imminent, about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It talks about. And when you read Psalm 16 verses 8 to 11, also talks about how the transcendent God will become imminent, and he will die and he will be buried and resurrected without his body suffer decay. So when we talk about the Christmas child, we are talking about the transcendent God who became imminent. That is the first thing that we must not forget, that the Christmas child is not that of the helpless baby in the manger. In as much as the religion will present to us, or the religion has already presented to us, when we talk about the Christmas baby, we are talking about the transcendent God, the one who created all things, the one who existed before the creation. So we are not talking about what the Christmas baby that the religion has presented to us, a helpless baby in the manger that needs help from the creation or need help from humanity. We are talking about Elohim himself, who became eminence because of our redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the Christmas child, we are talking about Emmanuel. We are talking about God who came by himself, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the creator and the sustainer of all things, stepping into the miserable situation of the fallen nature of humanity. So why did he become man? Why did he decide to become man? To save us and to rescue us from the hands of the enemy. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 17 says, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in his service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. John chapter 12 verses 30 to 32, Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit. You know, when you read John chapter 12, he's talking about 6 days before his crucifixion. And then the people from Greek came to see Jesus. And then they spoke to Andrew, and Andrew went through the protocol to reach Jesus, that the Greek man of Greek has come to see you. And for Jesus to say, you know, in a normal circumstance, when you have a guest or a visitor or somebody looking for you, the simplest way you should have done is, oh, where are they? Have your seat. What can I help you? Or what brought you here? But Jesus began to shout, Father, glorify your name, because the kingdom of God is at hand. What was he saying? He was saying, because the Garden of Eden, man was banished from the Garden of Eden. And God has to manifest himself here and there to people. And then he became a dwelling among the people through the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. So man has to travel to where the Ark of the Covenant is. And now he has come. He has come to dwell among his people. But people has traveled from Greek to come and see him again. So he was crying aloud to heaven, that Father, this is the reason why you brought me here. The reason you brought me here is that men will not continue seeking or searching for me. So this is the time. This time has come for you to glorify your name. The reason why you brought me here to the earth. Glorify your name so men will be a carrier of the imminence of the transcendent God. That is why Jesus cried out and said that this voice that you hear me was not for my sake, but for your sake, that you will see the glory of God. He said that this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now is the time for me to judge the bad guy who deceived the first man in the Garden of Eden. God has to judge Satan so that we will be free from condemnation. He said that this is the hour for you to judge the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Hallelujah. And John chapter 12 verses 23 to 24. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many. Until the wheat or a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it will remain single. Until I died, men will continue seeking for Emmanuel. But when I died and men believe in me, there will be the careers, so I will not remain at one place. There will be a transcendent and imminence among the universe. So God himself came so that we or him will be multiplied through us. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the Christmas child, we are talking about the transcendent God who became an imminent for you and me to carry him wherever that we show up. We show up as a representative. We show up as an ambassador. We show up as a candidate of our great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the first point I would like you to write it somewhere or jot it down. Through Jesus, we are no longer separated from God. The Christmas child bridges the gap between a holy God and a sinful humanity, offering eternal life to all who believe in him. This is the heart of the Christmas story. Jesus didn't come to bring temporal relief or earthly success, or to inspire us and be moral teachers. He came with a purpose to save humanity from its same problem, to reconcile us and to restore us back to our rightful position, the Eden. Therefore, Christmas child is a gift of redemption, grace, and love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 1:13. John 1:12-13. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or not the will of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. Anyone who believes in him will become the carrier of the Christmas child, the Emmanuel, the transcendent God who has become eminence. Remember, the Christmas child is not the helpless child in the manger. The Christmas is not about celebrating the helpless child who need help, who need to be breastfed, who need to be changed diapers. But he is the God, the creator of the universe, who has come to make his dwelling among us. So whosoever believes in him, you become the carrier of the transcendent God, and you become, he become imminence in you and in me. So celebrating Christmas is not about a fair fun. It's not about exchange of gifts or receiving gifts or giving gifts. It's not about the Christmas lights and tree and then leaves. It's not about the food. All is good. We celebrate the goodness of God. We celebrate our redemption, the grace and the love of God. But the main celebration is to celebrate the I am. That is I am. Hallelujah. Religion has done a good job just for us to think that when it comes to Christmas, we see the transcendent God as a helpless baby wrapped in a cloth, that we have to go and help. And the wise men and then people are giving gifts. But Christmas is about seeing God as the omnipotent, the omnipresent, and the omniscient, who has come to the misery, the bad state of humanity, coming down just as he is, coming down to our pity state to save you and to save me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he said that anyone who will receive him, God gave them right to become his child. Anyone, irrespective of what you have done, irrespective of your background, whosoever believes in him, he gave us right for us to be engrafted in as the members of God's family. Hallelujah. And then the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 18 said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. We are not living in condemnation again. The new creation has come. We have been redeemed. Our sins has been forgiven. Now we have right to call ourselves the children of God. So we no longer live in fear. We no longer live in condemnation. We no longer live in guilt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord has come to redeem us. And now we have become a new people altogether. The past is gone. The new has come. God has restored us to our rightful place, a place where we lost it. He has restored us back to stand in our proper state, our proper position. And now the Bible continues to say, the old has gone, the new is here. All things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and give us the ministry of reconciliation. It is not ended. After we are being redeemed, he has extended his work, his mission to us, that we should call, we should go, we should go and tell the world what he has done for us. We should go and tell the world. So celebrating the Christmas child also, it's an assignment to tell others about what God has done for them. That, brethren, you also need to come because your sins has been already forgiven. All you need is to accept the invitation. So celebrating the Christmas, giving gifts, and decorating our homes, showing up the Christmas child is a moment of sharing the gospel, the good news, also to people, telling people about what God has done for them. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:10-11. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. So the one who was transcendent, who has become eminent, the Bible says that he is the Holy One who has made us holy. And through his suffering, the Bible says that it was fitting for him to be a pioneer, so he was inflicted so that we would be redeemed from our miserable state. And because of that, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Before Jesus called his disciples, he called the men and women who follow him his disciples, and they call him master, and sometimes he called them students. And they call him rabbi, teacher. And now they have been translated to another level where Jesus is calling us brothers and sisters. So isn't it not a beautiful thing that the Lord has done for us? The people like us, a Muslim like me, a blaspheming person of my background, you know, I come from a background, you know how it is. Somebody who says a whole lot about our Christ and against Christ are now being called. It is not a human being who has called us. It is God himself who is calling me and you as brothers and sisters. He is now our brother and sister, sitting at the right hand side of Elohim himself, interceding for you and me. So having this understanding, as Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that with this understanding, our understanding is going to be enlightened. So celebrating Christmas, telling you to know that you are not ordinary person. You are a brother or you are a sister of the transcendent God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that all the prophecies were being fulfilled according to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Every detail of Jesus' birth, death, burial, and resurrection fulfilled prophecies that confirms his identity as the Savior. And this, the prophecies about Jesus coming to be born as a Christmas child, is a demonstration for us also to trust the Word of God. That the Word of God is trustworthy. You can depend your life on the Word of God. That the Word of God can never fail. So in as much as many as the promises of God, all of them are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So you can depend on the word of God. Don't be afraid of applying the word of God, because the word is trustworthy. If he said for 700 years before Christ was born, and every detail of his birth, death, burial and resurrection and ascension has been fulfilled, whatever God has said about you will come to pass if we can believe it. Hallelujah. We are living in the age that people think that God has so many problems, because there are so many problems going on in the world, so we don't need to add hours to it. There are so many challenges going on. People are praying, God is being disturbed. No. The word, every word that has come out from the mouth of our Father, the Bible says that it will never return to him void until it's accomplished its mission. So we can trust the word of God. Any word that God has spoken to you privately or openly, we can depend on his word. As 2 Corinthians 1:20 said, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of the Father. So celebrating the gift of salvation, the Christmas is about celebrating the gift of salvation, a savior, not a substitute. It is time to respond in faith also. The Mary and Joseph, we are called also to emulate their response. At this time, I would like you to bow down in a minute or within 30 seconds and meditate on the word of God. Where do you stand now? The transcendent God has become imminent, who has become the Christmas child, Emmanuel, who dwell among us. He is not that child in the manger, but he is Elohim himself, the creator and the sustainer of all things. He is the creator who existed before his home existed. He made all things for himself, and he has preserved all things by himself. He has extended his invitation to you this morning. Where are you now? Do you need to come back to your proper standing, the Eden, through Christ, and receive right to become a member of God's family? If you are here and you have not received that invitation, this is your opportunity. And this Christmas celebration is about telling others about what the transcendent God, who became eminence, the Emmanuel, the Christmas child, has done for the whole world. Are we ready to carry the good news to people? It is time to go and tell people. It's not time to sit down and invite. That is not the mandate that Christ gave to us. The mandate Christ gave to the church is to go. He did not tell us to sit in the church and invite people. He tell us to go and tell the people. Are we taking that great commission in this particular season? Telling people what the great King, the I Am, has done for them. It is time to share the good news. It is time to be rest assured that you have come home. You are now a member of God's family. Your name is a brother or a sister of Christ. You are not alien. Again, the one who made you came down to save you. Your salvation is secure. Don't be afraid of what will happen tomorrow. He came to save you, and he is the King of Kings. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts of Jesus Christ, the Christmas child. Thank you for your divine plan to save us. For the miracle of his death, of his birth, and for the eternal life we have through him. Help us to live in faith. Share your love with others. And remember that the true meaning of Christmas is in Christ Jesus, the transcendent God who became immanence in among us. We thank you for coming down to dwell among us. Through Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.